Hi, we're the librarians. Librarians.
Welcome to the Library Sessions, a podcast about teaching and learning in the library and beyond. This is episode one, why we started this podcast and how we became teachers. My name is Martinique Hallerduff. I am a public services adjunct librarian at Harper College, a community college in the Chicago suburbs, where I also teach English composition, and I'm also an adjunct professor at Roosevelt University, where I teach English composition and women's and gender studies.
Hi, everybody. My name is Jen Lau Bond. I am also an adjunct public services librarian at community college in the Chicago suburbs, and I also teach at Roosevelt University. I am an adjunct there, teaching in the Professional Liberal Studies Department, which is an adult fast-track program. And I primarily do my teaching online.
So today we want to talk a little bit about why we started this podcast, since this is episode one, and how we came to see ourselves as teachers. So I think we'll just jump in. Since the podcast was Jennifer's brainchild, so I would love to hear you talk a little bit about sort of why a podcast, why this one, sort of what got you thinking that you might like to start a podcast.
Yeah, I came up with the idea. I've been looking for new ways to do kind of professional development activities. And the reason I came up with the podcast idea is a few different goals. One, I wanted to learn a little bit more about audio editing and, you know, producing a blog and posting things online and sort of skills that I have been thinking about for a long time but haven't had the motivation to really get down and learn. So I came up with the idea of the podcast as a kind of a way to push myself to do those things, because now I have another person that I am working on this with, and it forces me to be a little bit more energetic and enthusiastic about learning these things. The other reason, I think, is that we have opinions, and certainly we will be sharing them in this podcast, yeah. But I find one of the best ways that I improve any skills is by discussion and conversation. And so you have always been somebody that I have learned a lot about teaching from. And I thought, well, who better to have a conversation with than you about teaching? And I'm hoping that through our kind of conversation that, you know, it really kind of helps us both be a lot more thoughtful about our teaching and more deliberate about our practice and pushes us to be better teachers. I also think that teaching is not always a conversation that librarians have, and it is a big part of what we both do in the library, and so I think it's something definitely worth exploring in a more in a way that you just don't get if you're just posting kind of your own ideas. Like, I could have started a blog to post my ideas about teaching, but that's not going to push me as far, I think, as a conversation would. So in a way, this was really a completely selfish idea here, so that I had an excuse to have a good conversation every month with somebody that I think is a great teacher. So, and I hope that the people who are listening, it will help them as well to kind of consider new ideas.
Well, gosh, that was great, Jennifer. I didn't expect all the accolades for myself, but I'll take them. So I was really excited when you came to me with the idea of a podcast for a couple of reasons. One, I'm interested in learning more about podcasting in general, similar to what you said, and I've been talking about starting some other podcasts unrelated to library stuff. And then when you mentioned doing one about our work as librarians and teachers, it really sort of, whatever the positive version of touched a nerve is, because about a year ago, I stepped down from a full-time position where I had quite a bit of responsibility, and that was at Roosevelt University, and it was a great decision. I'm very happy with where I am, but as an adjunct librarian, I'm not nearly as involved in the life of the college or conversations about teaching with colleagues in the way that I was as a full-time librarian. So, like you, I really enjoy those conversations. I feel like it's sort of a personal belief of mine that you can't teach well in a vacuum, that teaching is a reflective practice, and I think self-reflection is very positive and very good and very helpful, but I've been feeling kind of frustrated with my sort of teaching creative outlet being mostly just myself. So I'm really excited to talk about this with you, and I have a lot of experience having those conversations with you, and I'm actually excited to talk more about those because I just remembered your what you did for your interview at Roosevelt when you were interviewing for an instruction librarian position, and that I was impressed. How long ago was that? Like 7 or 8 years ago, maybe?
And more than that, probably 9 years ago, I think. Wow. Yeah.
And so we can figure out everything we've learned in the last 9 years. So yeah, that's kind of why I was excited to join you on this process. And we've got some things ahead of us and some things figured out. And I think it's our hope that we'll have some people who are interested in listening and then participating by sending us questions or, you know, sitting with us to record their ideas and thoughts, be interviewed, things like that too. And just kind of like use this as a way to engage more with the field.
Yeah, I would agree. That's basically what I want to get out of it. I think that there is a lot of conversation to be had in this area, so I'm hoping that we can have it.
Okay, so how did we think of the name for the podcast? Because that's the most fun part, right? It's like, I remember when I was in eighth grade and I was talking about starting a band with our friends, and we spent like 2 weeks thinking of our band name before we realized no one played an instrument. So
band names are always the best.
Yeah.
So, well, why don't you start with that, since you are the one who kind of came up with the library sessions?
So we were, you know, playing around with different variations of the words library and instruction and teaching and learning, and we wanted something a little catchy. So it was down between this and another name, but we were sort of thinking the library sessions inspired by like the idea of jam sessions, or when you hear about a certain musician and their recordings in New Orleans, and those are the New Orleans sessions or the acoustic sessions, that it's sort of this moment in time when you're kind of working on a particular idea with other people and being creative. And then you actually pointed out that that's what many professors call what happens when they bring their classes to the library.
Yeah, I thought that was a very fun kind of play on words, because a lot of, you hear it, instructors saying, well, this is the library session today. So I like that it gets at it's a very specific kind of two libraries and library teaching. But it's beyond the library. And I hope that will come across. I hope we can kind of address that issue as well. I think we both are looking forward to talking about just teaching in general, and not right. just in the library, but I think it all kind of revolves around, at least for me, it all revolves around my teaching in the library. And that's where I learned how to teach, and that's where I spend the most, even though I teach classes, I feel like I spend the most of my time thinking about teaching in the library. And so I like that the name is centered around the library.
Right. And I also think that going forward, I'd love to see us do some episodes on the library sessions where we're focusing a little bit more on the teaching we do outside of the library. So we talk more about adult learning and sort of what you know about that, and also how it connects to what we do in the library. And I can talk about teaching writing and then kind of bring it back to the library, but explore those other ways that we are teachers.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, great. So let's talk a little bit, since this is our first episode, about how we kind of got where we are today in regards to teaching. So would you like to kind of tell your story first, Jennifer?
Sure. I didn't necessarily expect to be doing as much teaching as I am. I certainly never thought I would be an adjunct faculty member. I did not ever consider that I would be teaching a college course ever. And I'm very grateful that I am because I love doing that. So when I was in college, actually, I was planning to, well, I had a lot of different majors. I switched my major many times, but the second to last one that I was doing was a high school English teacher. And I really, I loved the idea of being a teacher, but once I started to do more observations and learn more about teaching, I thought, well, I don't really want to be a high school English teacher. That sounds a little bit, I didn't want to do that same thing every day. I didn't really want to work with high school kids. And I was kind of like, well, what now? And at the time, I happened to be writing an undergraduate thesis, and I was spending a lot of time in libraries. And I decided, you know, I really like being in the library. Maybe I should be a librarian. And I, you know, I was in a college that was right down the street from, you know, the library school, or right down the, not right down the street, but it was sort of right down the highway, an hour away from the place where I eventually went to library school. And so I started looking into it. I went there and started talking to people, and I realized that I could do, the library would let me do a lot of teaching, but I didn't have to be a teacher.
Oh, okay.
And so that was kind of what drew me to it in the first place, even though I liked the books and I liked the all that research stuff too, but I also really liked that I could be involved in teaching. So I did kind of have a conception of libraries as being a place for teaching right from the beginning, but I didn't really understand what that meant at the time. And so, I kind of got a non-traditional job at my first job out of graduate school. I was working for the Internet Public Library, and I was the head of the reference service, and I did a lot of training, and I did not know what I was doing. I did not understand how to be a good teacher. I did not understand how to lead a class. I bumbled my way through it, and looking back, it was poorly. I am embarrassed at the classes that I taught. I was not prepared to do it, and I didn't have anybody to learn from. Yeah. I was the only person there, and so I didn't have anybody to learn from. And it wasn't until I started really kind of thinking that I wanted to go outside. I didn't want to work for the Internet Public Library anymore. I wanted to try something else. That's when I started to realize I didn't know how to teach. And I started kind of learning on my own. And then I came to Roosevelt and I learned a lot from everybody there. I was able to really finally see some of the things that I had been kind of learning about and practicing on my own, but I didn't have any experience with them. You sort of mentioned that at the beginning. It's hard to understand what other librarians are doing. So for me, really coming to work with other, to having peers, because instead of just being the only person, mm-hmm. made a huge impact in my teaching. And I think that's where I started to see myself more as a teacher. And then while I was at Roosevelt, I got invited to start teaching in the adult learning program. And that is, I consider that, looking back, that is one of the happiest accidents in my Wow. life that I stumbled onto that. And I'm so fortunate that I was asked to do that, because that is where, it's one of those moments where you get it, right? You get it. And then all of a sudden you get thrown into a new situation and you're like, oh, yeah. I did not get it.
Yeah.
And that was that moment where I sort of realized there is so much more to teaching than just covering content. And I mean, right. in some ways I was sort of, for a variety of reasons, I am not afraid to talk in front of people, and I get how to kind of present information to people, but I did not even realize that teaching was so much more than that. And so it was one of those moments where I suddenly realized that I was a baby in yeah. the teaching world. And since then, I've made a real conscious effort to continue improving my teaching, and that's kind of what has, I would say, led me to here now, where I'm teaching in the library, and I do feel a lot more confident about my teaching in the library. But even there, I'm always constantly feeling like I have so far to go and have so much more to learn about how to be a better teacher in the library. And I certainly have a lot to learn about being a teacher outside of the library, too.
Yeah, yeah. So could you say a little bit about how it transpired that you were asked to teach for that department? Weren't you an embedded librarian for like the department chair's class or something like that?
So I was one of the distance learning librarians at Roosevelt. and, you know, I focused on the distance programs at Roosevelt. And one of the departments that had a lot of distance classes was the Professional and Liberal Studies. It was called the Bachelor of General Studies at the time. But it was the adult fast-track program, and they had a lot of online classes because, of course, that's a big demand yeah. of adults is to have more flexible classes. So they were one of the biggest departments. They had them, one of them, maybe it was at the time, the most online classes of any other department. And so I worked very closely with a lot of those faculty members. And I worked particularly closely with one faculty member. And then they were looking, they were, at the time, the program was, you know, kind of growing and they needed more teachers. And she recommended me to the department chair as somebody who might want to have teach a class. And again, that's one of those moments that at the time I didn't realize it, but looking back, it was so pivotal. And I have been so, I consider myself so fortunate to have been asked it. And I mean, at the time, none of the other librarians were teaching anything at Roosevelt. That changed later and a lot of you started teaching, but at the time no one else was teaching. And so I remember it being kind of shocking to me that they would consider me even worthy of being a teacher. And again, I teach online primarily there. So, and which is, I think, also a very different experience in a lot of ways than teaching an in-person class. Hopefully we can explore that in the future, in a future episode. But I think that it was, for me, that was a great introduction to getting into teaching because I have done so much work online and I am so familiar with working with distance students that it felt still like a little bit in my comfort zone to be online, that teaching online. So if I had had to go in front of a classroom, I honestly am not sure I would have done it. I think I might have been too intimidated to take on an in-person class. But because this kind of eased me into it in a way that, in a format that was comfortable and familiar to me, I felt really good about it. And I had been participating as an embedded librarian in a lot of their classes. So I had seen the types of students that were in the program. I was familiar with the materials and the goals of the program. I was also working with the department chair. We had started doing some curriculum mapping. And so I felt more comfortable with the material. And therefore I felt like I could do it. I was still mighty intimidated, but
yeah.
But I felt like it was something I could perhaps accomplish eventually. And I love teaching in that program, and I love teaching adults in particular. So,
gosh, there is so much I want to respond to in your story. I'll have to tell the story about the first day walking into a semester-long class as a teacher because it was incredibly intimidating, and I made a little bit of a fool of myself. But I had some of the same advantages that you had, and so I guess this is not really going in a linear order, but that when I started teaching, it was in a department where I was very familiar with the semester-long courses because I was working in that department as a librarian. So I'd seen many syllabi. I was very familiar with like a variety of research assignments that students in that program were given. So it did sort of like set the stakes a little lower. To make me feel like I wasn't just going in cold. But as far as how I became a teacher, I thought it was funny that you thought I'll probably be a high school English teacher because that's what I thought too. Because I studied literature in college and I wasn't really sure what to do with that degree and probably didn't seek out the types of resources to, you know, ask people. But I sort of thought, well, I'll be a high school English teacher. And then I finished college without a teaching degree. And I was like, well, I guess I'll go get a teaching degree. And I just couldn't bring myself to do it because it's not actually what I wanted to do. And it took me a while. It took me a little longer to come to the idea of library school and being a librarian. And part of that is when I was in college, I always skipped the library day. I always thought I already knew it. I started feeling that way in high school because, you know, I would take trips with my class to the library in elementary, middle, high school. And they would say, here are books and here are to find them. And I thought, like, I have nothing left to learn. And interestingly enough, the one thing I did take away at some library something or other was sort of that, like, come to us message, we'll help you. And when I was an undergrad at Evergreen in Olympia, Washington, I was doing this fictional research project where I wanted to figure out how in history I could make up a factual story where American slaves might have come into contact with Brazilian slaves. And it was to do with this African music, dance, and culture project. And I couldn't figure it out. And I thought, like, what if somebody set adrift on a boat? Would they end up, like, where could I have them leave and have them end up in Brazil? And I thought, I'll just ask the librarians. So I went in and I said, you're like, do you have ocean current maps? Like, here's my problem. And I expected someone to be like really curious and excited to help me. And they totally weren't. And I have some theories as to why I think my question was like way too expansive, that I kind of wanted them to solve the problem for me. And as a librarian, they probably thought that was the problem I was supposed to. So there was like many things happening. But that was kind of my formative undergraduate experience with being a librarian.
I just want to interject, because one thing I always say in my instruction sessions is that I did not realize that librarians, you could ask them questions when I was in college. I didn't even know that you could ask them a question, and I always say that because I'm like, if I can become a librarian, then there's, you know, you guys shouldn't be embarrassed if you don't know what the library is for, you know?
Right, which is kind of how I feel with, like, I always skipped the library day, and I realized there was enough to learn that I became a librarian, so, like, there was something I was missing, and it might have helped me figure out how to ask my question a little better about the ocean currents. Which my dad actually ended up helping me solve, but I was doing an AmeriCorps program and I was working in public schools, and I, again, was sort of at a crossroads about what to do next. And I'll preface this by saying I'm the least new agey, spiritual, religious person you know. And yet I had a dream that someone was like, oh, what are you, like, what's your job, or what are you going to do for a job? And I said, oh, I'm a librarian. And I woke up and I was like, are there even librarians anymore? This was in, like, you know, 2000 or 2001. And so I got online and I found out, like, there are still librarians and you need a graduate degree to become one, and that, like, the career outlook was good and, like, the starting salary, like, seemed decent. And so I applied to library school and started the next fall. And I did take a class there on user instruction, which was mostly a presentation class that talked about, like, visual, auditory, and kinesthetic learners, and didn't really get into teaching and like learning and learning as a process, or how people learn, or any of that very much. And it wasn't until I got my second library job at Roosevelt University and sort of found my first mentor. And she was really passionate about teaching, and she gave me all of these like really basic tips. Things like, when the students are walking into the classroom, just like start chatting with them and ask them how their day is going, and just like really little things that helped me figure out how to bring myself into the classroom and how to meet those students as people and not just be ready with like shuffling through my notes and be ready to like lay out all my material for them. And it was still a huge evolution and continues to be an evolution in being a teacher. But what really I think was the big catalyst is when I started studying English and ended up becoming interested in composition theory and how in the theory of teaching writing and feminist pedagogy. And there were so many parallels with teaching writing and what we do in the library, but I wasn't hearing those conversations in our field. And they're out there now with talking about critical literacy and things like that. But I became really excited to take what I was learning in the composition theory world and apply it to my teaching in libraries. So I kind of started working on that. And as I finished the program, a lot like Jennifer, the department chair said, like, you have a master's in English now, you study teaching writing, we need more adjuncts, can you teach a writing class? And I started teaching a writing class. It was Roosevelt University's 200-level class, writing research. and social justice, and I started that in the fall of 2010, and it's been really, really exciting. I love teaching semester-long classes, getting to know the students, getting to try things, you know, one class and having the next class to like do something different if it didn't work. I feel like there's so much there, and it's changed the way I teach in the library and made me really excited to have more conversations about sort of like what's happening in the field with teaching in the library and that kind of stuff. But my first day of teaching an in-person class, the students were in a circle, so that's how the desks were arranged, and they were all sitting in their desk, and I walked into the classroom and I had this moment where I was like, that's the wrong room. And so I like walked in and stood at the door, like looking scared, which is like not a great way to start out as a teacher.
Sure.
And I said something like, what class is this? And like they told me, and it was my class, and that's how the students got to know me.
Yeah.
First impression anyway.
Well, I think I think this is something we'll probably want to discuss later, but of both of us learning about teaching at Roosevelt, which is a kind of a particular environment, like the end, because they have a social justice mission, and I think that
right.
has probably done a lot to inform how we look at teaching in general and in library work in general. So there's probably something to explore there later, but I mean, how do you think that, like, if you just had to sum up sort of how has your classroom teaching impacted your library, like, how would you sum it up?
I think, well, in a couple of ways. One, it has made me more invested in the classroom faculty teachers' assignment and process, because I've been on that end of things. So it's definitely sort of made me think about, like, should we have two or three meetings? What are they talking about before they come in? At what point in the research process are they? Which I can't remember, but I think I probably asked before I was teaching in the classroom. But it's made me so much more kind of engaged in the larger aspect of research. Like, I want to know what else is happening in that classroom, so I have a better sense of where I'm plugging in as a librarian. Because when I'm teaching the writing class and having to plug in a librarian, it's such a strange experience, because I still, whenever possible, have another librarian be that person, because I want them to have that relationship with, you know, someone who can help them that's not grading them and that whole thing. But I do sometimes feel kind of frustrated that they like don't know everything about my class and don't know like the details of the assignment or what we read before so on both sides, I think it makes me want to be more integrative between the library and the writing classroom. That, and I think it's made me that much more kind of aware and interested in engaging with the students in my library session as individuals and students, and like learning a few names during that session and really just approaching that as a class and less like a presentation.
Yeah.
For whatever that might mean.
Right. Well, I think, I mean, I would say sort of similar things. I think that it's made me, I think being the teacher has, being a, like, the teacher, like, as in the faculty member teaching the course, I think it's made me a lot more sympathetic to the struggles that teachers have, especially adjuncts, because I think it is difficult for them to understand sort of what we do in the library. And sometimes I think, you know, and I think it's also sometimes difficult as a librarian, it's hard to kind of step in, but it's difficult for the faculty member to let you step in.
Right.
Sometimes it's a control issue, but even if it's not, sometimes it's just difficult. They have a lot to cover. They have a lot of goals that they're trying to meet in their course. And I think it's hard to find the space, the physical space, but also the emotional space, to kind of let somebody else come in and, with their own goals and, you know, find the time to give them, to teach that stuff. And I think it's also, I think it's, there's a lot of demands placed on faculty members. And I think that's helped me, being one, has helped me understand all that, that kind of aspect. And what it's like to be on the other side of the library session.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I think it creates a really great place for doing some of that work outside of the library session, whether it's on committees with other faculty members or, you know, like building sort of programmatic something, you know, like learning outcomes or whatever. And I know that as a, when I was librarian before I was teaching outside the library, I would often think things like, like this is our session. And like, I know you have goals, but like we have goals too. And we have to teach students how to develop really good keywords. And I want to spend a lot of time on that. And they might be thinking like, yeah, but they need their resources.
Right.
And so I am more sympathetic to that quandary, I guess. And there's not a simple solution to it, but I think it's, I'm really thankful that I have the experience on both sides.
Yeah. All right. Well, it looks like we've hit about our time limit. So I'm really excited to do this podcast. I'm really excited to keep having conversations. And, you know, we have a million ideas for things to talk about. And I hope that anybody who happens to stumble upon and listen to this podcast will, you know, come to our website and try to, you know, learn a little bit more also about what we're talking about and give us ideas for things that we can talk about and what they'd like to hear about. So,
yes. And do you know our website URL?
I do. It is thelibrarysessions.wordpress.com. So.
Okay, great. So visit our website. We'll have some notes from this podcast up soon.
Yeah.
And any kind of comments or feedback you have, we are interested in talking with more people.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Okay. Thanks for listening. Until next time.